You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to Stories of the Day, where we do a quick wrap of all the big stories that you must absolutely be aware of. If you haven't read a newspaper, haven't checked your apps, fear not. In under 15 minutes, we will cover everything you need to know from the worlds of business, finance, stock markets, politics, current affairs, entertainment, etc., etc. My name is Rakesh Sharma, your faithful companion for the day's news, and this is Money Control.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
First, the headlines. UltraTech Cement quarter four net profit stood at 1,014 crore rupees. The company had posted a net profit of 446.13 crore rupees in the January to March quarter a year ago. UltraTech Cement said in a BSE filing, its total expense in the fourth quarter of 2018-2019 came to 9,554.43 crores. According to Bimal Jalan, panel on economic capital framework to submit its report in May to June. The committee on ECF was set by the central bank in December 2018 and was expected to submit its report within 90 days from the date of the first meeting. Reliance Industries has regained market share in petrol and diesel sales. RIL, along with its partner BP PLC, plans to jointly set up as many as 2,000 petrol pumps in India over the next few years. RIL, which enjoyed an overall 12% market share in fuel retailing till 2006, saw it slip to less than 0.5% in 2014. In other Reliance-related news, Reliance is preparing the ground for e-commerce launch. Reliance Retail is testing a food and grocery app among employees before the commercial launch of its e-commerce platform. And this was a strategy that was similar to what the Mukesh Ambani-led Reliance Industries did before the launch of Reliance Jio. Non-filers of GST returns for 2 months will be barred from generating e-way bills. With almost 2 years into GST implementation, the government is now focusing on anti-evasion measures to shore up revenue and increase compliance. Transporters of goods worth over 50,000 rupees would be required to present e-way bill during transit to a GST inspector if asked. ITC has moved the NCLT seeking to cancel Hotel Leela Venture sale. The hearing is set for the 18th of June. JM Financial ARC had filed an insolvency application against the Mumbai-based hotel chain in January, which owes around 5,900 crore rupees to lenders. As per the information available with Bursis, ITC holds 7.92% stake in Hotel Leela Venture as of the December 2018 quarter. Amazon Retail India is on an expansion spree and it is planning to enter 60 smaller cities, according to a report. Amazon Retail India is already present in over 100 cities. Amazon Retail India forms the giants Amazon Pantry and Prime Now services that deliver groceries and other household products. Uber Asia-Pacific head Amit Jain has quit and Pierre-Dimitri Gorkoti to take up his role. Rahul Gandhi and company went into mourning upon airstrikes, said Amit Shah. BJP is using divide-and-rule policy to grab power, said Akhilesh Yadav. Opposition parties have no option but to accept defeat, said Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And disgruntled MP Udit Raj, about whom we spoke yesterday, has left the BJP after not being given a ticket to contest from Delhi, whose ticket was in fact given to Hansraj Hans, and has in the process left to join the Congress. US-based aerospace major Boeing has reported over 13% fall in quarterly profit. The US aerospace giant reported $2.1 billion in profits, down 13.2% from the same period a year ago. This was, of course, the time that Boeing has suffered some difficulties owing to the problems in the 737 MAX 8 planes. In sports news, Chelsea manager Maurizio Sarri has been charged with misconduct. Maurizio Sarri's assistant Gianfranco Zola claimed after the match that the decision to send his compatriot to the stands was unfair. SoftBank to invest 900 million euros in Wirecard. German payments company prepares to reveal annual results amid accounting scandal. Wirecard says some Singapore employees may face criminal liability, and Wirecard boss tells staff accounting allegations known and addressed. Occidental has launched a $55 billion hostile bid for Anadarko. The attempts to stop the takeover by Chevron as a battle over prized US shale assets intensifies. UBS and Deutsche Asset Managers are in merger talks. The deal would create a European champion with 1.4 trillion euros of assets under management. In other news related to SoftBank, SoftBank's Masayoshi Son lost $130 million in a mistimed Bitcoin bet. As details of the 9 bombers come out, Sri Lanka remains under threat. The 9 suicide bombers come from mostly educated middle-class backgrounds and they carried out attacks that killed more than 350 people. The authorities said 60 people had now been arrested and the American ambassador said there were believed to be ongoing terrorist plots. And finally, the Sensex and Nifty ended 1.3% higher as the markets jumped after 3 days of losses. The broader markets did not outperform the benchmark. Let's start with the Uber story. Uber aligns Indian business with Europe, and APAC head Amit Jain is to quit by the end of May. In a major restructuring exercise, ride-hailing service Uber, which in many ways revolutionized the way we travel, announced it has appointed Pierre-Dimitri Gore-Coty to take responsibility for its Asia-Pacific business. This is in addition to his current role leading the rides teams across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. The current head of Uber's Asia-Pacific business, Amit Jain, has decided to quit the company. He had joined Uber as India head in 2015 and had become APAC chief last year. The India rides business was reporting to the Asia-Pacific region, which is headquartered in Singapore. There has been speculation that Uber may be looking at scaling down its Indian operations, but the company had denied such reports. In a statement released yesterday, Uber's chief operating officer, Barney Harford, had said, and I quote, "After 4 great years, Amit Jain will be leaving Uber at the end of May to spend time with his family before taking the next step in his career," unquote. He described Jain's role as, quote, "instrumental in growing our rides business, first in India from launch to category leadership, and more recently across the Asia-Pacific region." Uber remains deeply committed to the Asia-Pacific region, and under Pierre's leadership, will continue to invest in our people, products, and partnerships, unquote. Business Standard observed that integrating two regions will synergize the ridership business. For example, emerging markets like India and sub-Saharan Africa, which include Egypt, Nigeria, Kenya, and Tanzania, have many similarities in the business. Products that are being developed in one of these countries are being launched in the others. Uber Lite was developed in India to overcome slow internet speeds. After its success in India, it was launched in about 20 other countries, including markets in the sub-Saharan region. Similarly, high-capacity vehicles, which have been launched in Egypt, are also expected to be experimented with in India to see their potential. Uber is also slated to increase its R&D headcount in India from 500 to 1,000 and will work on requirements not only for India but also for other emerging markets. Meanwhile, Coty, in addition to handling the European business, will now also oversee Uber's ride business in Taiwan, New Zealand, Australia, India and South Asia, Japan and South Korea. The restructuring comes at a time when Uber is preparing to launch its roadshow to pitch its company to prospective investors in the week of the 29th of April, setting up for an early May debut on the New York Stock Exchange. The company is expected to raise $10 billion at a $90 to $100 billion valuation. Now, if you're looking for jobs in the IT sector, there might be some good news coming your way. According to an IANS report, amid a slowdown in job growth across sectors, IT services major Tata Consultancy Services, that is TCS, and Infosys hired about 42,000 more techies in the recently concluded fiscal year of 2018-2019 than it did in the previous fiscal year. That was a growth of over 350% in new hiring, according to a media report. While Mumbai-headquartered TCS hired 29,287 employees in the financial year ending on the 31st of March, Bangalore-based Infosys added 24,016 software professionals, according to Fortune magazine. Together, these two companies added 53,303 employees in the 2018-2019 fiscal year, and in contrast, they had hired 11,500 employees in 2017-2018. TCS hired 7,775 employees, while Infosys added 3,743 employees in FY18, the Fortune report said, suggesting that the momentum of hiring in the $167 billion Indian software services industry has started picking up. In 2019, IT firms are likely to hire professionals with expertise in, pay attention, data science, data analysis, solution architects, product management, digital marketing, machine learning and artificial intelligence, blockchain, and cybersecurity, according to experts. The Indian IT industry is expected to add around 2.5 lakh new jobs this year, according to a TeamLease services report. A report by TeamLease on IT hiring projections for 2019 said investments in IT reskilling will increase by around 20% in 2019. According to Fortune magazine, IT majors such as TCS, Infosys, Wipro and others are prepping their staff to be future ready. Companies have initiated multiple internal trainings in the digital technology space for its employees. According to TCS, its employees logged over 52 million learning hours in FY19, resulting in over 311,000 employees getting trained on digital technologies and over 348,000 trained on agile methodologies. The overall employment scenario in the country might not be as cheerful, as data from the Center for Monitoring Indian Economy, that is CMIE, suggests that India lost 11 million jobs in 2018, while unemployment in the country is pegged at 6.1% in 2017-2018 by the NSSO's Periodic Labour Force Survey, that is PLFS, and that rate of unemployment, which is highest in 45 years. Experts, though, feel India's IT industry, one of the largest private sector employers in the country, might be able to lift the spirits of the job market going by its current hiring momentum. Well, according to a story released by Mint, the UK-based finance institution CDC Group has committed to Big Basket, one of the newest unicorns of India, and invested $40 million in the grocery delivery company. This deal pushes Big Basket's valuation to $1.2 billion and is a part of a funding round worth $150 million. The group invested the funds along with Korea's Mirae Global Asset Management, which pumped $60 million into Supermarket Grocery Supplies Private Limited, which is the parent company of Big Basket. China's Alibaba, with an existing investment of $50 million, was also a part of the funding round. CDC said in a statement, and I quote, "We will help the organization support the economic empowerment of its local supplier farmers as it guarantees fair pricing and provides production and quality crop training. Our capital will directly contribute to a substantial projected increase in smallholder farms supplying the Big Basket brand, thereby boosting local income creation and living standards," unquote. This is the first time CDC is investing in an Indian startup. It has invested over $1.3 billion in India for almost three decades. It backs projects in the renewable energy sector. For example, it invested $25 million in a clean energy firm called Green Infra, backed by IDFC Alternatives in 2013. The group announced a $100 million investment in various energy projects in India in 2017. The group is one of the largest institutional investors in Indian PE funds. It reportedly decided to enter consumer-focused markets at the end of 2018. CDC Group wants to back businesses that boost job creation and economic development, according to Srini Nagarajan, MD of Asia at CDC India Advisors. That is what drove the group to commit to Big Basket, according to the Mint report. Big Basket got a unicorn status after raising $150 million. To get a sense of how much that is in Indian rupees, it's about 1,040 crore rupees. And that was in a Series F funding round led by Alibaba and Mirae Asset. According to Mint, Big Basket last raised $300 million led by Alibaba in February last year. Sands Capital, International Finance Corporation and Dubai-based private equity investor Abraj Capital participated in that round. Three investors had led Big Basket's $150 million fundraise in March 2016. Other investors in Big Basket include Helion Venture Partners, Bessemer Venture Partners and Ascent Capital. Big Basket's fundraise also came after it stopped discussions of a merger with rival Grofers, which has separately raised $60 million in March this year from Japan's SoftBank Vision Fund. Well, those are some of the biggest stories that made a lot of noise in the world today. But before I leave you, let's take a quick look at what happened on the Lal Street. Nifty 50 was back above 11,700, which is certainly a positive sign. Ease in crude oil prices also helped the sentiment, but it is still, of course, trading near 2019 highs. At the end of the day, what was the reading on the Lal Street? 39,054.68 or 489.8 points up, 1.27%, thanks to some last-minute buying. And it was a similar story with the Nifty 50 as well, 1.3% up, 11,726.15, with 42 stocks in the Nifty 50 pack of stocks advancing and 8 stocks declining. Among the top gainers today were Ultratech Cement, BPCL, HCL Tech, IndusInd Bank and ONGC on the Nifty 50, and the top losers, Tata Motors, Hero MotoCorp, Maruti, Coal India and Cipla. Well, there we have it. In under 15 minutes, as promised, everything you needed to know about the world. You listen to this and you're set for the day. And rinse and repeat tomorrow, because it'll happen all over again tomorrow. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is Mirake Sharma on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.